Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about student loan debt, and this is something that affects nearly everybody that has ever gone to college in this country. Get this. In 2010, there was a study that said student loan debt greatly outnumbered the number of credit card debt, and it's increasing roughly $2,800 plus per second. Per second. That's more than $10,000 since we started this podcast, and it all adds up to about $1 trillion in student loan debt. It's a very serious problem, and some people get overwhelmed by it. Today, we have one of the very best to deal with student loan debt and answer some of these questions. It's Craig Zimmerman from the law offices of Craig Zimmerman. I know for a fact you get calls on student debt every day. Some people, I imagine, are probably scared out of their minds.
Yeah. Most people who call me are calling me are desperate. You know, they just don't know what to do anymore. They're scared and overwhelmed. So, unfortunately, it's the worst time to call me. But it is common that everyone's just overwhelmed when they call me.
I mean, obviously, when you get out of high school, you go into college, and I think most people are just focused on the next step of life, but they don't really realize what student loans they're taking out. And all of a sudden, when they get done with school, the deferment is run out. The bills start need to be paid in mind to, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I'm drowning in debt.
Yeah, it's funny because I talked to some high school parents. They have their kids are graduating high school, and it's before they incur debt. And I remind them that this is the first time ever we're going to let our kids sign on the bottom line. And we let them sign not knowing how they're going to pay it back, when they're going to pay it back, the terms they're going to pay it back, and that the fact that the debt basically doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And most parents sit there and they just stop breathing when they put it in reality that this is going to be potentially a lifetime problem for their kids.
It's scary to think about. And I think a lot of people put it out of their mind until they do need to call you. So what are some of the common questions you get when they finally pick up the phone and call the law offices of Craig Zimmerman?
I mean, the first question I always get is, am I really screwed? But most people are asking me, how do I pay it? How do I get out of it?
Right.
What can I do? Do I have to leave the country? Am I going to get arrested if I don't pay it? I mean, people run the gamut of fear because they just don't know what to do. And they have bill collectors calling them day and night, threatening them with some nasty, nasty stuff.
You know, everyone wants to pay their bills. When we sign up for a new car or get a new cell phone and come up with a payment plan with a mobile phone company, we go, okay, I can afford the extra $20. I can afford this. Not a lot of that attention, I think, is paid to mind when you're 18 years old trying to get into college. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you sit there and go, oh my God, I can't pay this. What should I do? What do you tell someone when they call you up and go, Craig, I literally cannot afford this?
Well, the first thing we have to find out is what kind of student loan do you have? Do you have private student loan? Do you have federal student loan? Federal student loan, thankfully, there are a lot of options available to people out there that can help them, as we like to say, stay on the grid. So they can work for a living, pay taxes, buy a house. That's the first step. If it's private student loan, we take a deep breath and there's none of those options out there. But it only just really depends on where you are in the process.
Right. I believe there's income contingent plans. I think you're alluding to that. Are there more likely to get an income contingent plan with a public loan or federal loan?
What you're talking about, there's an income contingent and there's an income-based repayment. They're different programs.
Okay.
Based on whether or not, in essence, if you have a PLUS loan, a Parents PLUS loan or not. Those are only federal-based programs, so I can only help those who are federal student loan borrowers with those income-based programs, and they're out there. And they're a function of your income and the state you live in and the number of people in your household and your tax filing status.
What if you don't qualify for one of those income plans where you can pay based on what you make?
On a federal student loan basis, if you make too much for an income-based repayment plan, they do have a couple of others. One's a graduated extended plan and one's an extended plan. And depending on the amount of debt you have, you can extend the repayment out as long as 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They get scary because you pay a lot more interest. And on the graduated program, every couple of years, the payment will go up. So we hope that your income goes up to match it.
Right.
But that's basically what we can do is that we can work with the payment plans to find something that hopefully fits your budget.
What if you can't find a job or what if you're unemployed, you just get laid off? Do they take that into consideration or are you just kind of up a river?
No, that's the beautiful thing about federal loans and the income-based repayment plans. Your payment plan can be low, as low as zero. And so you can go to the servicer or the debt collector and show them that you're currently unemployed and that your income-based repayment plan should be zero. And the beautiful thing is, as long as you're making that zero monthly plan every month, you're current on your student loans. Now, you're going backwards because interest is accruing.
Right.
It's going to eventually get capitalized to the loan. So
it's not going away, but it's not burdening you as much as it could be.
That's correct. Again, you're still able to live on the grid. You're not going to have your income taxes seized. They're not going to garnish unemployment or Social Security or disability. They're not going to levy your bank accounts. So you're living with your student loans, as we like to say. But, yeah, the problem is still out there, and the monster grows.
You mentioned your income tax return being seized. Everyone loves getting that check from the government when they overpay, and it is tax season. You know, sometimes we don't always make the wisest of choices when we get that return. But I'm curious, because they can be seized. You mentioned that. What is the determination, the clarification on when they can and can't be seized?
Usually, again, we're talking about federal loans only. Private student loans can't do this. But federal student loans, if you go into default, which is more than 270 days past due, they can seize your tax return. They just file for a federal tax refund to offset. You will get notice about it, though most people tend not to read those notices, so never notice it. And when you see clients who call you and say, look, I was expecting my $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 refund.
Right.
I was using it to pay my bills or go on vacation or pay off my car, but they just took it. How do I get it back?
Yeah, once it's gone, I would imagine.
It's gone. So you want to avoid that. And, you know, you have to work with clients. Hopefully they call you before they file their taxes and we help them out so that doesn't happen, because right. You want to see people keep their tax return.
We've been focusing on the federal side of things. Let's talk a bit about the private loans. Is it as simple as, you know, this means this because it's private and this means this because it's federal, or does it get more complicated from loan to loan on the private side?
On the private side, it's really lender dependent. And where there's all these income-based repayments and there's all sorts of discharges for federal student loans that could be out there for you, in a private student loan, there's zero. It's like a credit card or a mortgage or a car loan. If I owe it, I owe it.
Right.
And it's up to the lender to decide if they have a program. And some have reduced payment plans, reduced interest. But if they don't want to cut you a deal, you got a problem.
What do you think the ultimate goal is of the lender? Because I know in some situations in you know, other parts of business, when, say, you know, Sam, he's our example here, Sam owes, you know, Company A X amount of dollars, they want at least something. They know that maybe Sam can't pay everything, but you can pay a little bit. We talked about that income-based issue. I mean, is there a mindset for the private loans to go, okay, well, Sam can't afford this, but let's try to work with him so he just doesn't go straight into default?
I wish that was the case, and we deal with that with all sorts of debt. Everyone likes to think, well, the bank is happy getting something than nothing. Sadly, that's not the case. The problem is, and a lot of people are familiar with this with the mortgage crisis that happened a few years ago, private student loan debt is actually securitized, which means it's pooled and sold on Wall Street to investors who are expecting to make money on their return. And I've worked on those deals when I was in auto finance, and there's a list of demands and requirements that the loan has to, you can't make less than a full payment, the loan can't be certain amount past due. There's all sorts of requirements. So it limits the lender's hands.
Right.
So when you say to the lender, you know, I've had a year worth of forbearance, I need more, and they say, you're out. It's because when they've sold the loan to Wall Street, that's all they can give. So when you say, well, my payment's $700, I can afford $200. Well, then they have to accept nothing versus something.
Right.
And that frustrates people beyond belief. And that's the toughest thing to deal with. So actually, where it's really strange, and I deal with this pretty regularly, is we talk to people about just totally not paying those private student loans and waiting for them to sue you. Because the problem now becomes, if you remember the mortgage crisis, the mortgage companies couldn't prove who owned the note and who you were supposed to pay. And that happens with student loans. We have lots of cases where actually the Wall Street entity sues the client. And they say, we own the note, but they can never prove it. So either there are times you can just totally walk away from it, or depending on how the judges and the courts work in the state, each state's different, we can get you a very, very good deal. So now you're going to pay less than full balance. Their interest can be reduced. Sometimes it's down to zero. Again, there's a whole lot of factors. But the scary thing is, you know, you talked about gambling earlier. You have to gamble when they sue you.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. Now, we are a country of procrastinators. A lot of people won't seek out your advice or listen to a podcast like this until they're into a default or in some serious trouble. Those letters come in and they have a threatening tone. What should our listeners do if they're already in default?
You got to call someone. I mean, whether you call me, someone else, you really want to first start call a lawyer who knows what they're doing. There's lots of companies out there that they tell you they know what they're doing, but I have to tell you, they don't. They file things too simply. They overcharge you. I see companies that want to charge people monthly for a monthly maintenance fee. And what that means is they send you an email and say, hey, you okay? And they'll charge people upward of $200, $300 a month for that email. You want to start with a qualified attorney. From there, you need to file whether it's a private loan or a federal loan. And if you don't know, go look up the National Student Loan Database. That will tell you. If it's listed there, it's a federal loan. If it's not listed, it's a private loan. If the person you're dealing with doesn't know what that is, wrong person. If they ask for your PIN number because it asks for your PIN, wrong person.
Well, I think you've provided a lot of helpful information, but the next step is taking the first step. What should people do if they need to get a consultation and need to get set on the right path?
If you want a consultation with my office, there's two ways to do it. You can call us directly, 1-800-987-4165. That's 800-987-4165. It's a free call, free consultation. My staff is there, and they're happy to help you out. Or if not, you want to go to our website and look for more information or fill out one of our contact us forms. The website is www.craigzlaw.com. That's CraigZlaw.com. So www.craigzlaw.com.
So that's Craig, the letter Z, law.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for specific legal advice in your situation. There is no attorney-client relationship formed unless you have a legal services agreement executed by you and the law offices of Craig Zimmerman. There are no representations or guarantees of any outcome being made in this podcast. This is not an attorney advertisement or solicitation for new clients in any state or jurisdiction where the firm does not accept clients. The firm maintains of-counsel relationships in states where it does not have an office. Our attorneys are licensed to practice in California, New York, New Jersey, and Texas.